Hello, everybody. This is Danny Johnson. It's awesome to have you guys on the phone with us tonight. It is Monday night. It's just a little bit after 7, and we're going to kick off this call. I'm actually calling you from Brush Prairie, Washington. For those of you Washingtonians, I'm just south of most of you right now. I'm your Canadians that are on the West Coast, just right over the bridge there from Portland. And so we are up here on a family event getting ready to go out and do some serious camping for the next 4 days. So for those of you that pray for me, please. I have all my kids with me. We've got a million kids going on, but not a million, but a ton of kids, about, I don't know, 30 of them, going to be going out on a camp out. So anyway, for those of you that this is your very first call with us, we just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for listening to the person that invited you onto this call. Hopefully tonight we'll give you some insight and help you in every single area of your life. Tonight we're going to do a short call. Hopefully we'll be done right at the bottom of the hour. And let you guys get on to the rest of your summer day. Tonight we're going to talk about the art of building rapport. I'm going to give you a few steps into increasing your business in the area of more loyalty from your customers, being able to build a better rapport with prospects, which also will increase your closing ratios and things of that nature. And so I'm going to kind of touch on those things tonight and get us done and get those of you who are on the East Coast to bed early instead of at 11 o'clock, which is what time we normally end, or at 10 o'clock. Anyway, my name is Danny Johnson, and prior to getting started in business, I was just an uneducated, very insecure female. I was 19. It took me a couple months to get the courage to get started as an entrepreneur. Once I did so, I failed for the first 6 months, failing miserably, found out about a seminar that was supposed to change everything. It was going to cost me $1,500 that I did not have to go to that particular training seminar. And I didn't have the time, I didn't have a way of making it happen. Got over all of my excuses, went, came out, made $4,000 in 8 days. Next month's check was $11,000, next check after that was $15,000, next one after that was just under $21,000. Went up to being the number one producer inside of that particular sales force in just a few months, and it was shocking to me. I didn't have a prior education or anything like that, and hadn't succeeded in anything. Went off, got married, and the guy that I married changed his mind, drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, and left me with a $35,000 debt. So I wound up just completely homeless, living on a beach in Hawaii. I know it wasn't Oakland, but it still was bad, scary. I felt defeated, felt violated, totally despaired, full of depression, wanting to quit on my whole life, and really found no other way for me to ever succeed again. Wound up starting a business from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth, made $2,000 the first 10 hours, and this is, by the way, being homeless. Next month, I made $6,540. Following month, made over $10,000. By the end of my first year, I'd made $250,000. By the end of my second year, had made my first million, and that was by the time I was 23 years of age. And so if this young, uneducated female with no prior business experience, with nothing but a bunch of insecurities and self-worth issues, self-esteem issues, could get started in business and become a millionaire in 2 years, then what can you do? Currently, I'm so grateful for the industry that we were in because I met my husband through that. I have 5 beautiful children that I love and adore that God has given to me on loan. And we have prospered 6 and 7 figures my entire career, both of our careers, inside of the home-based business industry. And so currently we've just been putting classes together like the one that we're on right now. This is free and open to the general public. It's free and available for you. The website is free and available for you. There's just tons of information on there. We've had many, and really to the tune of thousands, of people email us with testimonies of how the website has dramatically changed their business, their marriage, their parenting, getting out of debt, managing their time better. The website is filled with over 50 hours of free training that is available to you by way of a conference call just like this one. And so there's no excuse for anybody, whether you're homeless or you're wealthy, that you cannot advance your education in business, street smarts business, on how you can really grow and develop not only yourself but others that are around you so that you can capitalize from this awesome opportunity that we have in this nation to really do and be whatever it is that we want to do and be. And so that's what's available on that site. So tonight is free, and so just listen attentively, take some good notes, and thank the person that brought you on the call because they obviously cared enough about you to introduce you to a free service that has made an impact on their life as well. Okay, so step number one, whenever you're talking about dealing with other people, and this is very important, and this really applies to every single area of your life, whether if it's dealing with conflict with your spouse, conflict with your teens, your young little toddlers, or with other coworkers or whatever, maybe you're perfect, you get along with absolutely everybody all the time, and if that is you, wow, I'd like you to send me a picture of you, because I have yet to meet anybody like that. But if you're anything like what we were, man, you know, conflict is just a part of life. And if you're like the majority of us, then you need some help in improving your people skills so that you can handle conflict better, so that you can handle different personalities better. Do you ever find it that you get frustrated with a certain personality, or are you intimidated by other personalities, or do you hate conflict? Do you hate confrontation? Or maybe that sometimes when you do confront that you just don't quite use the right words, or you come off in a way that it winds up hurting people's feelings. Do you find that you have a very hard time being able to take what it is that you're excited about, bring it to the marketplace, and receive the same kind of excitement out of them? I found that very same thing my first 6 months in business. Man, I went out there and talked like an ignorant fool on steroids, and I got absolutely nowhere. And the reason was is I was leading with what I liked instead of leading with the prospect likes. Now, you're asking yourself right now, how in the world do I lead with what a prospect likes if I don't know? Gotcha. You're right. You cannot lead with what the prospect likes unless you ask them. That is key number one point. Unless you ask the prospect, there's no way of you knowing what it is that they like. And most of you are a part of an industry or some kind of a business where you can offer people a vehicle to help them get their needs fulfilled. The industry that I was in, being in a home-based business, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, that we did not offer, whether it was tangible or intangible, that could not fulfill some kind of need in somebody's life. Whether they needed to grow spiritually, we had that available. If they needed to meet people because they were single, we had that available. If they needed help with parenting, we had that available. Not that we had those programs available, but classes like this one tonight gave them tools so that they can take it home, use it to build stronger relationships with everybody they were around with. And if you think about it, everything in life is centered around relationships. And I mean everything. Your God, that is centered around relationship. What is your relationship with your God? Your spouse, that's centered around relationship. Your children, toddlers or teens, centered around relationship. Business associates, centered around relationships. Well, relationships have two factors. One, your personal growth, your personal development yourself on how you will deal with these people. And two, your people skills. If you have the right kind of resources in the area of people skills, you can pretty much handle just about anything that comes at you concerning people. So, with that in mind, the first thing that I want to move you towards is making a friend first, whether this is somebody that you don't know or someone living in your own house. How do you make a friend first? How do you establish trust? How in the world do I find out what the prospect wants? Am I supposed to be able to read their minds? No, of course not. I don't recommend that at all. In fact, there are many people and many companies that spend millions of dollars in advertising, and they're literally playing guesswork or trying to become some kind of a psychic to determine what the marketplace wants so that they can sell it. You don't want to be an ignorant fool like that. You have got to develop the skill of asking people what they like, what do they not like. And it's very simple to do this if you have the concept of friends first in the forefront of your mind. What do I mean the concept making a friend first? Well, whenever I am dealing with my children, I'm wanting to come from a friendly place. When I'm dealing with my husband, same thing. And Lord, sometimes I need some help with doing that. If I am looking at leading somebody to my God, it also happens in the same way. Or if I'm talking to a prospect, it is simply about asking questions coming from a genuinely interested, as Dale Carnegie said in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, becoming genuinely interested in who they are, really wanting to make a friend, really wanting to make a long-lasting relationship with them. Whether it is as a client or a business associate, I'm looking to establish something that's going to be long-term. And so when I've got that in the forefront of my mind, I'm looking to establish some trust and build a rapport. Now, I usually begin a conversation in some ways, really with a compliment. Let's say that you're at a grocery store, you're watching the checker work really hard. That might be something you might want to mention to them. Man, you seem very dedicated to your job. There's a nice compliment. Melts the ice. Conversation now open. It could be that you're in a shopping mall and dealing with a cashier that's completely stressed out, and you can say something like, gosh, I could tell that you're just working very hard and maybe you've had some serious challenges today. Are you not having a good day? And maybe they may say, no, I'm really sorry. I have been really stressed out. That's okay. I'm sure that it's not that way every day. I'm sure you give this job the best that you can every single day, regardless of the circumstances. There's a compliment. It could be that they've got just eyes that you admire or a smile that is breathtaking. It could be that they've got a sweet-sounding voice or a great disposition. Find something to compliment the prospect about or anybody that you're around. And what do you know as a prospect? Well, if you're an evangelist and you're trying to win souls to your God, then obviously you're going to begin the conversation in the very same way, just trying to establish some kind of a base of a relationship. And people love to be complimented, not flattered, but complimented. And so I usually begin in that way. You know, finding something that I admire about the person that I can, you know, just bless them with that word of encouragement that day, okay, and that's what I begin with. And that opens the door to establish some sort of a relationship in the beginning. And it kind of, you know, works like this. I'm going to ask them questions, you know, concerning who they are, just really trying to get to know. Who are they? What do they like? What matters most to them? What do they do for a living? What do they like about what they do for a living? What do they not like about what they do for a living? These questions then begin to reveal who they are as a person. The biggest costly mistake that most people make is they assume what the person is saying. They assume that, for example, let's say you meet a lady, she says she's a cocktail waitress. And you right now, in your mind, you go, okay, well, I know what a cocktail waitress is. End of that conversation. Let's begin a new one. And there you are looking for words in that big black hole of all of ours, our brain, trying to figure out, how do I keep this conversation going? It is so simple. You ask somebody what's a cocktail waitress, and you do not assume that you know what it is, and you're really wanting to get to know who the person is, what do they live like, what do they do, what does their day look like, who are they around, what kind of discussions they have, what are their interests, what are the things that they don't like. It's very simple to find the answers to this out. For example, you meet somebody and you say, hey, you know, what do you do? Well, I'm a cocktail waitress. Really? What kind of a cocktail waitress are you? Do you work in a bar or do you work in a restaurant? Well, they may say, well, I work in a bar and a restaurant. Really? How so? Well, in the beginning, you know, this is the woman talking to you, but in the beginning, you know, in the morning and the afternoon, it is, you know, like a bar and grill. You can have some beers and hot dogs and hamburgers and things like that. And then it turns into a fine dining restaurant. So we're dealing with, you know, more expensive cocktails, you know, like Remy Martin martinis and things like that. And then at the very end of the day, it turns into a full-fledged dance club type bar. Okay? So there you go. Now you got more information out of this person that you were sitting there going, how do I get this person to talk? Just by simply becoming more interested in them. Then you can ask questions concerning all that they just gave you. Well, what do you like about your job? What do you like about all that? They may say something like, well, I like the variety of people that I work with. They may say something like, you know, I like the fast cast. It's fast paced. It's upbeat. You know, it's fun because it's just chaos. They may say something like that. What do you not like about it? Oh, I hate my boss. He's boring. He's this. He's that. He's stressful. Really, why do you not like that kind of environment? Oh, I just don't like stress. It's not appealing to me. I have too much stress at home. Really, how come? Oh, you know, my boyfriend and I broke up. I'm a single mom now. He's not paying any child support. There you go. I mean, need after need after need is being spilled right out of the prospect's mouth over and over again. And it's still very simple to bring that to happen. I mean, it really is not that difficult. And it is in the beginning because we're so self-centered ourselves. We're always thinking about what we want and what we like and what's important to us. We're always thinking about what we're trying to sell or what we're trying to market. And I want to get this person into my business. Well, you're not going to lead that person into your business with what you like or what you want. You're only going to lead that person into your business based on what they like and what they want. How do you find out what they like and what they want? Ask them. Just ask them. If you keep them talking and you control the conversation, then what you have in controlling the conversation is this. You ask questions, they answer. You ask more questions, they answer. And sometimes it's a very simple question that you can ask. It's something like this. Well, really, what do you mean by that? That's a very simple question that keeps people talking. Okay, and maybe you're needing to find out more information. Well, what do you mean by that? Really, gosh, you're an engineer? What kind of an engineer are you? I'm an electrical engineer. Okay, well, what exactly do you do, like, on a daily basis? And they may just, you know, go off about what that is. You know, what do you like about that? Well, I like this. You know, I like that I get to solve problems and that, you know, I'm looking at a big, huge mess and I get to figure out a very logical way about how to be able to have everything work out. And at the very end of the day, you know, we wind up with a finished product. Great. You found out great information about that person. What do you not like about it? Well, you know, the corporate scene right now is very unstable, and I don't like that it's stable. I would like something that's a little bit more secure, although I do have a 401k. However, I would like to really just start adding more to my retirement. Boom. There you go. And so it's very clear and simple. So, again, number one was to make a friend first, okay? And two was to compliment, okay? Compliment that person is how it begins to really open the door. When you put a smile on the face, give them a word of encouragement. Three was to build some trust. How? Getting people talking about themselves. Four was building a rapport. When you build a rapport with people, then you're going back and forth with just you asking questions, them answering them. Not in an interview way, but just really as making a friend, which also establishes trust. When people talk about themselves, they begin to trust you. Okay? And the process that I've been doing is really just asking about their family, their occupation, what they like to do for fun, and when and only when I find a need that really works for what it is that I'm looking for, then will I give them a message about how they can come and take a look at the opportunities that it is that I'm marketing. Okay. Six that I talked about is asking questions, controlling the conversation, which is what I just ended up with. Control the conversation. So that you are the one asking the questions, they are the one answering the questions. Do not assume that you know what their needs are. Do not assume that you know what they do. Just because they say they're a janitor does not mean that you have the full picture of what that is. They could be a janitor at a coliseum. They could be a janitor at an old folks home. They could be a janitor at a school. There's a number, and there could be a number of different things. They could be a janitor who just cleans office buildings. There are so many different types of janitors. Don't make the age-old mistake that most self-centered people make and assume that you know what they are saying. It's very important that you do not do that. Let me give you point number seven. Very important that you smile. Huge. That you smile. If you smile when you're talking to people, it's contagious. It's so contagious, especially when you're talking on the phone and you're smiling. People can hear the smile through the phone. Your confidence changes. It says you have vision and you know where you're going and you know what you want to do. Very important. Number eight is you want to get very good at listening. It's very important that your listening skills improve. What have you done lately to improve your listening skills? If you plan on having a successful marriage, and if you plan on being a great parent and giving your kids the best shot that you can, if you plan on having an outrageously profitable business, you must master the art of listening. And so my question to you is, what have you done lately to learn how to become a better listener to your spouse, to your God, to your children? What have you done lately to learn how to get better at that? Okay, that is a very important skill that will help you in your job and in your personal life as well as your business. And really, honestly, we could spend hours on this topic right here, but we're not going to go there right now just because you can forget about it, but because we just don't have time. But in the art of listening, you cannot be thinking, what question am I going to ask next? In the art of listening, really becoming a great listener, it cannot be that you are interrupting the person that you're talking to or finishing their sentences. When it comes to the art of listening, you cannot assume that you know what they're going to say and finish their sentence for them. Did you hear me? Cannot interrupt them, cannot finish their sentence for them, cannot assume you know what they're going to say so you finish the paragraph for them. You can't be sitting there thinking, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? You certainly can't be sitting there going, will you hurry up and shut up because I have something more important to say. We all know our brains have gone there before. Mine has many times. So when it comes to establishing a great listening skill, you've got to do whatever it takes to get it because it will help you with your marriage, your kids, especially if you're building a sales force and you're in a home-based business. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You cannot survive. You cannot build something great without the art of listening. You just can't. It's nearly impossible. You will come to a point where, in other words, what you'll find is that you will only bring into your business what you are, and that's it. Because you can only attract who you are when you lack listening skills. Meaning if you have a certain personality, if you look in your business and it's all the same personality, guess what? That's because there's some serious lack in the listening area. I had that huge problem. Could only talk to young females who had my personality, and that's all my business was. Well, then I went through some experiences that really taught me how to listen, and now my business, even today, is all straight across the board, all personalities, all ages, all races, all religions, everything imaginable is in my business today. And that is a great deal of the ability to listen, and honestly, by the absolute grace of my Father in heaven, who has blessed me, brought me through the revelation of having to learn how to listen, using it with my kids and my spouse, and using it with my business, and things have exploded, okay? Okay, so let me just recap this here real quick, and then we're going to wrap this call up. Okay, number one is that you need to make a friend first. Very important that that's in the forefront of your mind. Otherwise, you look like every other Tom, Dick, and Harry who's trying to sell something for their own personal gain. If you want to build a long-term business relationship, you're looking to make a long-term business relationship by making a friend. Number two was by starting with a compliment. Open the conversation with a compliment. Find something that you can encourage this person with. Watch what they do diligently and make note of it. Number three is you want to establish trust by getting that prospect to talk about themselves. Number four, you do that through building a rapport, asking questions back and forth, and really getting genuinely interested. Again, Dale Carnegie's book did a great job teaching how to be able to do that. Number five was basically asking a series of questions like, you know, about their family. Are they married? Are they single? How many kids? What are their kids interested in? Occupation, what do they do for a living, more detail about what that is, what skills they've gained from that, what do they like about it, what do they not like about it, what they used to do before, what they like to do for fun, how often do they get to do that fun thing, and then only when there is a way to find, to fill a need that they have with what it is that your vehicle is, then do you make the invitation for them to take a look. Then, number six was control the conversation. Control the conversation by keep them talking, you asking all the questions. Do not look for an opportunity to talk about yourself, and do not, and I repeat, do not assume you know what they're talking about. Whatever you do, do not get into it where they are asking you the questions. You keep asking the questions, they keep spilling their guts, and they're revealing to you what their needs are. Number seven was smile. Very important that you lead any conversation on the phone or in person with a smile, even if you only have two teeth left and they're black. Number eight, the art of listening. And I'll recap on that. Listening means that you're not interrupting. Listening means you're not finishing their sentence. Listening means that you don't assume that you know what they're saying and finish the paragraph for them. Listening does not mean, come on, hurry up so I can say something important. And listening doesn't mean, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? Okay? So there are 8 points in building a rapport. And again, I mean, I could be here for hours and hours and hours and hours grooming you with the art of being able to communicate better with people. And man, we have watched it through our prospecting and closing classes, which by the way are sold out. We do have a waiting list for the prospecting and the closing class for August, which starts August 9th. Both the classes are completely sold out. We do have people that wind up dropping between now and when the class starts or even after the first class happens, only because it is a tough class and I really push you for your personal best in that class, and some people just can't handle it, and that's okay. But anyway, so if I were you and you're not in there, if you didn't make it for the August classes, maybe get in for a waiting list. You may, who knows, God may move the heavens and the earth and you might get to sneak in. And then, you guys all know about Boston. I'm excited that Boston is coming. It is filling faster than Salt Lake did, faster than Denver and Dallas did. We're going to have an outrageously successful event, and I'm so looking forward to having you guys come. And for those of you that aren't, don't worry about it. That's okay. You know, do what you got to do what you got to do. But this is what I will tell you guys. And again, I touched on some things tonight, but if you want to, and if you're struggling with these things, I just want to point these things out so that you can know it's okay, it's going to get better. But do you want to know how to get people to show up for the follow-up call? Tonight, some of the things I shared with you can help you to increase your numbers. If you're having people not show up for the follow-up call, chances are there was not good trust established. If you feel like you're getting a prospect to talk to for a long time, but they're still not showing up, chances are you're doing too much talking and you're really selling them. That's important. And at First Steps in Boston, we are really going to hammer that so that you really get the fullness of the revelation. When revelation comes, change happens in your habits. Do you want to know how to be able to close your prospect on the first call? We are going to be talking about that. How can I close the prospect on the very first call? We're going to be talking about three things that will increase your prospects to show up for that follow-up call. Three things, three key things. They're going to massively change the numbers, just as it did for Becky in our last class, where she used to have 4 out of 10 people show up for her follow-up call. Now she has 10 out of 10. Will we be discussing those three things that change the show-up rate dramatically? How to increase your prospects to showing up for that follow-up call 90% of the time. Or, in other words, did you invite 10 people to a business presentation that you're going to have 9 to 10 of them show up? The people who are with us in Boston, that's what's going to happen to them. So again, if you want 9 out of 10 showing up, be in Boston, you're going to learn 3 techniques that will help you to connect with your prospect genuinely so that you don't feel bad, so that you don't feel like you're trying to sell them. Don't you hate that feeling? Don't you hate the feeling of being slimy with some kind of hidden agenda when you're talking to your friends and family, or having the slimy hidden agenda of talking to a prospect that you're going to try to lasso them in something they don't even want? That we're going to deal with those 3 techniques that will majorly help you to connect genuinely, really making a friend like I talked to you about tonight, without you feeling yucky and gross, like you're trying to be a salesman and trying to lasso them into something. You're going to have 5 steps in attracting and retaining quality leaders on your team. We're going to give you the very beginning and the foundation and those 5 steps to attracting and keeping those quality leaders that you know you want inside your organization, whether you're a management staff or it is a home-based business, whatever it is, that can help you. Even if you're remodeling a house, you want to be able to attract and retain the kind of people that you want building that house. That's what we're going to be talking about. Hey, and what to say to those naysayers? Have you guys ever ran into naysayers? I have so many times. Ugh, those negative people, what in the world do you do with these people? How do you turn them around, or what are you supposed to do with them? How to handle the I don't have any money objection without pressuring your prospect. You know how when people give you that objection, and I need to talk to my spouse, or I need to think about it, or I'm not a salesperson, or something like this is not for me. And you know that horrible feeling that comes over you where you just wind up going, now what do I say? Now what do I do? And either you wind up starting to totally convince that prospect and you start overselling your program. Same with your spouse. You know how when you go to talk to your spouse about something that you're excited about, and they just wind up totally giving you a bunch of excuses of, I need to think about it. Right now is not the right time. We can't afford that, honey, so don't even think about it, right? Or, you know, that's not really for us. We're not people like that, right? Do you want to be able to handle that objection from your spouse? Do you want to be able to handle that objection from your kids? You know, when your kids give you objections, I can't. I don't know, I'll try. All that nonsense. Okay, listen, we are so going to be covering that at First Steps to Success. So how to handle that without pressuring your spouse, without pressuring your kids, without pressuring your prospect, right? Do you want to be able to just get so good at people skills that without pressuring anybody, that you will lead people into doing the very thing where they are in complete agreement, where your spouse is in complete agreement with you and says, yes, let's do this together, where your kids are in agreement, where they will agree to do the thing that you are asking them to do, where you would get that prospect, that you and that prospect will gel so well together that they are doing like what is happening right now to my client, Kim, where Kim now, who chased people for 3 years, now has her clients chasing her, trying to impress her. Instead of her impressing the marketplace, they are now trying to impress her so that she will work with them. How did that happen? Well, she's been to 3 or 4 First Steps to Success and creating a dynasty. She has learned these skills, and plus the prospecting closing class. She's developed herself with that skill to get that prospect chasing her. Could you imagine the day when that happens to you, where you've got prospects now calling you saying, okay, what do I have to do? Instead of you begging them to show up for a conference call, instead of you begging them to go to work so they can become financially independent, and instead they're calling you saying, hey, I called 20 people, this many scheduled, what's my next step? Can you imagine how awesome you're going to feel when that happens? Oh, gosh, I remember when it happened to me, man. I used to chase people like crazy and beg and convince them to feel nasty. Felt so bad, felt gross. But then once I learned this art that we'll be teaching at First Steps, oh, my gosh, man, felt so good. And again, you guys are going to apply this to your jobs. You're going to apply it to your marriages. You're going to apply it to everything, and you're going to be blown away about how good it feels to really, truly be on top of your game and know how to get the job done and know and see that the future is totally tangible instead of some mystic, weird dream that feels like it's never going to happen. So anyway, guys, I hope that tonight the 8 points that I gave you, that you're going to take that to the marketplace right away, apply it. If you want more information on that, you can go to www.DannyJohnson.com, and there is a call that was done on rapport this year. You can go to that call. It's an hour-long call. It's got more information about the topics I talked about tonight. We've got a good 20 hours free on the website for prospecting. For those of you that want to step it up and you want to get to that point where you're you know, really advancing yourself, there's all kinds of CDs that are available on the site. North Carolina is a great place to start, the North Carolina CDs. It's First Steps on CD. That's a great way to get your feet wet in the area of building rapport and getting to know people and getting people literally to tell you what they want and how to bring them into the business. And also the script book is also a great tool. So there's tons of free stuff on there. There's other stuff on there. If you're ready to take the step in your education, there's stuff in there for you too. For those of you that are feeling a major stir in your spirit that you know you need to be in Boston, then you better go with it. So I'm going to open up the lines. Everybody say good night and God bless. I am done sweating here in Brush Prairie, Washington. Can you believe people here in Washington don't have an air conditioner? Isn't that crazy? That's the truth, though. People in Washington.